some people like Chris Emma.
We both fall into that category. Chris Emma is here with our Bears report, and we are happy that he is here to kind of break all of this stuff down for us. Whenever we talk Bears here on The Score, it's brought to you by Chevy and the Chevy Silverado. He is here now.
What up, Chris Emma? By the way, real quick, the Brewers have acquired or just about to acquire a catcher from Tampa named Danny Jansen, former Blue Jay, briefly a Red Sox player as well. OPS over 700, nice depth catcher for Milwaukee, but not an earth-shattering bit of trade news. We're watching along with everything. Chris Emma, good to see you, my man.
What's up, boys? How we doing?
Solid. Tell us about practice this morning and the vibes. You were up there.
Yeah, it was a very hot morning. Temperatures, I was following along. Hit triple digits by about 10 o'clock. You felt it out there. You really felt it.
Wow.
Stands were full. Fans were out. It was a community day, so you had Military Appreciation Day, but it was the first full day of pads, and the energy picked up a little bit. Here's Richard Hightower right out of the gates, bringing the energy for everybody.
All right. Afternoon. Man, gotta get y'all like the players.
It's still morning.
It's morning to you. I've been up since 4:30. Been an officer at 4:30, so it's morning to you.
Harumph, harumph. I didn't get a harumph out of you.
It was 10 in the morning. Good afternoon right out of the gates here.
That's what everybody's saying, okay, good afternoon, but it's 10 a.m.
But it's the morning time still.
They were juiced today.
He was feeling it. Not for him, because he gets there at 4:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Gets there early.
So Richard Hightower is a guy who obviously over now one of the incumbents from this previous staff, leading a special teams group and really trying to carry on the message of Ben Johnson. And you feel that as he evaluates the players that he has and starts to get a sense now with this 90-man roster of who's going to be really able to fit into some of these roles. And you got the sense of that when you hear from Richard Hightower about what he's looking for in these players. So you feel the energy every time he talks, and certainly he's looking for the same out of his players. So here's more Richard Hightower.
We talk about mentality from the very first start, like what we believe in, what our core is, what our beliefs are, what our philosophy is. And the scouting department does a really good job of bringing those type of guys in. So from day one, if you don't have that, then you're probably not going to last in our room. But we judge that by the way they work. We evaluate everything they do. So we evaluate the way they watch tape, the way they come back, all right, from the tape after practice, how hard they work in a weight room, how they walk around, how they treat people. All of that is part of being a pro. And then ultimately, it's about producing. So if they don't have the right mentality, they can't play here anyway, because that's how Ben is. Like, they can't play here. And they damn sure can't play in my room if they don't have the right mentality.
It's, you know, it's a smart holdover because it's a guy who deals with the bottom third of the roster and can fill in a lot of blanks for them. And I trust his take on the character of players and such. But it's also interesting to hear him say that's how Ben is. Like, there's a new sheriff for Richard to listen to and abide by as well as everybody.
Yeah, I think he really embraces what Ben is preaching. And since he's gone to work with Ben beginning in January and obviously taken on to the new coaching staff, I think he's really wanted to replicate that message. And as you mentioned, at the bottom of the roster, like, this is a 90-man roster right now. He has no clue what his unit's going to look like. We know Ben's building his offense. Dennis is establishing his way on defense. Richard Hightower doesn't know what his special teams unit's going to look like. All he can do right now is really establish what Ben Johnson is trying to do in terms of setting standards, building a culture, and putting those expectations in place. And you get a sense of that when you hear Richard Hightower talk right there, because that's not a message for the media. That's a message for the players. That's in every meeting room that he's doing. And you get a feel for what they're trying to preach in that building now.
Emma, I want to run something by you before we continue on with your hit. Something that Spiegs and I were talking about to start off the show today. And that's some of the stuff that was said by Ben Johnson on Saturday, that where he was talking about the things that Caleb has. Alex, we have it. Let's play it for Emma so that we can kind of get his reaction. But Spiegs and I were talking about this as figuring out whether or not we are looking at a Caleb Williams rookie season 2.0 type situation. And that's the way that I felt when I heard him talking about it. And I played it for Spiegs, and Spiegs was like, oh my, like when he heard it, this is for those of you who are just in your car and you're like, wait, what are you guys talking about? This is what we're talking about.
As you work with Caleb, a lot of what you're describing over the last 6 months or so since you've been here is literally from the ground up with his footwork. How much or what is reasonable to expect to have carried over from last year? As you try to teach him, what does he already have from playing a full season?
There really isn't a ton of carryover from what he was asked to do, the play calls or anything of that nature. I mean, he's always been very comfortable as a shotgun quarterback going back to college and even last year. He's very comfortable in a two-minute setting. He's very comfortable with tempo-type plays. And so now we're asking him to be a little bit more structured in terms of the play calls. Sometimes there's multiple calls. You know, there's shifts, there's motions. There's a lot more going on mentally than probably there's ever been for him. And so at some point, this thing will start slowing down, and he's going to be able to catch up, and his physical ability will take over from there. But right now, because mentally it is what it is, he's playing a little bit slower than what he's capable of.
Is there anything that is – I mean, he's not a rookie. Is there anything that you get from those 17 games last year, at least in – seeing defenses, seeing personnel, is there anything that is already built?
Yeah, because I wasn't here, I can't speak entirely to that. But sure, I think he understands what a training camp's going to be about. He knows what a game week is going to look like. There's some things that hopefully the anxiety level goes down because, oh, okay, I know what to expect now. But it's still, there's a lot different than what there was for him a year ago.
All right, Emma, you were in the room for that. Well, what did you hear there?
The same thing I heard in 2018 when Matt Nagy came in with Mitch Trubisky, and the same thing I heard in 2022 when Matt Eberflus and staff came in with Justin Fields. Like, this is what happens when you bring in a second-year quarterback and a new coach, and you got to reset things. And here you are again. You've reset the cycle once again between head coach and quarterback, and it's the same mistake the Bears have done before and faltered with miserably. And I think it's going to be different because I do believe in Caleb Williams and I believe in Ben Johnson. I think they're going to find that same page. These are the growing pains right now. Like, you can see through some of the struggles that Caleb Williams has had that it's not just a bad day. It's not the arm is off. It's a lot's going through his head. Like, and you heard Declan Doyle allude to it on Friday as well. Like, pre-snap, they think he's really improving. The cadence, everything, mastery at the line. Post-snap, it goes quickly, obviously. And they're pressuring him. They're getting Montez Sweat right in his face all the time. I think a lot's just going through his head. I think too much in terms of, well, where's my route precision? Where's this guy supposed to be? When am I supposed to get that timing element down? I think it's moving really fast for Caleb Williams right now. That's to be expected. You've got a new scheme that's being built on the fly. They're only, a quarter of the way through the install, according to Ben Johnson. It's going to take some time. You're seeing the struggles that are probably expected because this is what happens when you're building an offense out for a young quarterback and doing it now in his second year. You wasted so much of last season with this kid, and it really sucks because
it
you know how
like
talented
he is. It sounds like they wasted all of it.
Yeah, it feels like it.
I think they wasted all of it, and I think you're right, Chris, that it is the same as these timelines and scenarios that we've dealt with, but I think this kid is different than Mitch and Justin, and I think this coach is very different than Nagy. And obviously, Eberflus is a defensive guy who brought in Getsy. But I think these two guys are different,
and
I think.
The fatal flaw for Justin Fields, in my belief, was just a struggle to process, a struggle through processing with what the play is, what he needs to do once the ball is in his hands, when he needs to make that decision. And so many of Justin Fields' best plays were on the move and improvising. And I don't want to look back in the past, but that's why it didn't work out with him. There's a lot more with Mitch Trubisky.
It's on the table that Caleb will struggle with the same stuff.
We don't know that he's not going to struggle, but I believe just based on everything you know about the kid that he's going to be able to process differently, and that's going to be the piece and why it's different from past quarterbacks. I believe he has what it takes in terms of the work ethic away from the building, what he needs to do to be successful, but just that processing element, you either have that or you don't, and you can't replicate it. That's not something you can coach up no matter how many different great coaches you have coming in. You either have that or you don't, and that's how you maximize your skill set. Caleb Williams has the skill set, and he has the processing ability. I think you're going to see it eventually, but it's just not there right now.
So they got in the pads now. So what were the padded practices like?
So, yeah. So today was three different team periods split up throughout practice. It was a shorter practice, just a little over 90 minutes, and a heavier emphasis on the screen game, on the running game as well. They started light, even with full pads, because you're supposed to, I think, through the CBA rules. Drew Dahlman was excited to get out there in full pads. Here's Drew Dahlman on what the Bears accomplished today and how they're getting established on offense.
I wouldn't say it's too different. Obviously, there's different things that are allowed and, you know, practice – like more high contact drills and things like that. But as far as mindset and mentality, we're coming out to work as hard as we can. Football is a physical game, and we're working on being a physical team. So that's been part of our DNA this whole time.
Is it nice to kind of get started truly with the run game? It's hard to do that without the pads on, right?
Yeah, I think there's a lot to the run game. You know, there's a lot of cohesion, there's a lot of communication, all those things. As well as the physical piece, which was on more display today. But we've been working on all facets of it since April 7th or whenever our first day was. So this feels like a step in a long process that we've already undergone, or we've been undertaking.
How's the chemistry going with you and Caleb?
It's been good, yeah. Caleb's awesome. Great to work with him. Great to work with the other O-line guys. And it's one of those things where, you know, every day something gets better, and then you always have new things to patch up and fix and work on. And it's been a pleasure to like work on those things, like, oh, I need to do this, he needs to do this, and kind of work together on those.
Obviously, building a rapport with the quarterback, there's always a bit of a process there, but is anything different when Caleb is, you know, not as, I guess, familiar with the under center stuff as he is with the shotgun stuff? Is there anything different like building that rapport with a guy who is also learning the under center at the same time?
I mean, honestly, I haven't really noticed. He does a great job with it. We've had like plenty of learning moments where we're kind of getting a feel for each other. Every quarterback and center exchange is like a little different. But yeah, it's been great, and he's done a great job.
Given his ability to throw on the run, kind of going both ways, what would a good run game just do to kind of unlock his strengths in the passing?
Yeah, I think, kind of football 101, the more stress you can put on the defense, being able to run the ball, that opens things in the pass game. And when you're a team that can attack as an offense from multiple directions, as far as like run and pass and stuff like that, that makes you really effective. So I think it all ties together.
Super smart guy. Really glad you highlighted a big chunk for us to play, Chris. That's Caleb's partner. You know, we've been talking about it for a lot of years, how these young quarterbacks need their center. Go get Justin his Jason Kelce. And now it's like, all right, go get Caleb his Jason Kelce. He's got his Drew Dahlman, and their partnership's a big deal, man.
Well, they better stop dropping the exchange, or else Ben Johnson's going to be mad. Not in this high school Harry stuff.
What a line
poor
that
Harry.
Was. Yeah, it's. I mean, you saw it again today. They got to work on that one, no doubt. But
it happened again today.
It happened again today.
Harry deserves it.
That's high school Harry stuff right there.
Tough day for Harry.
Harry was bad in high school. That's a problem.
I want to reiterate something our buddy Mark Grody said earlier on the Midday Show, and I love the way you put this. Like, it's just great to have somebody like that at center. Like, they've been trying to figure this position out the last few years. Not only that, but with Joe Tooney at his left side and Jonah Jackson on his right side, you've got a really good interior. You got that offensive line is set now. Darnell Wright, you want to see continuing to develop on the right tackle side. And obviously at left tackle, you're going to figure that one out. But Drew Dahlman being the center and that partner, that caddy for Caleb Williams – very important. I think that's a great asset to have.
Let's get to Jaquan Brisker, because we are going to talk with Ron Coomer coming up at 5:25. We'll get back on some Cubs stuff, but we want to get to this. What's the latest, Emma?
Jaquan Brisker spoke today. He's out there, obviously, full go for training camp. And look, his health is obviously at the forefront here, and this has been a concern after missing so much of last season. He was out there practicing in full pads, but without the guardian cap, which you've seen a lot of players, including Roschon Johnson, wearing, who have dealt with those concussions. And Jaquan Brisker talked about his health, where he hopes to go with this, his goal for this season, but also what he's going to do or not do to prevent it. So here's Jaquan Brisker.
I could really just play all 21 games. When I say 21, plus playoffs and Super Bowl. But just really, I could play all 21 games, and that I'm a playmaker. I make plays. You know, I'm a hit. I'm a tackle. Cover. You know, make plays on the ball. Things like that. So,
are there any tweaks that you've had to make to how you play to try and stay on the field maybe a little bit longer? Because you played the play right, and it still ended in a concussion.
Yeah, probably just not lead with my helmet. I'll say that, not lead with my head. Other than that, I mean, that was my first, you know, injury that I had tackling somebody, so I'll say that.
One of the keys for you here has got to be being on the field at this time of year, too, because I think the past couple of years you missed chunks of training camp. Is that right?
Mm-hmm, that's right.
Is it especially important to be out with the new scheme being put in?
Yeah, I mean, it's important to be out there. I want to be out there, but, I mean, previous years, my first year, I was out there the whole time, but I got hurt the first game in the preseason. Had to get surgery, and then the other 2 years I had soft tissue injuries. But you know, all those, you know, years I was, you know, having great camps, I just, you know, got tweaked a, you know, a little injury. But of course I want to be out there, I want to play. Obviously I, you know what I got to do this year to, you know, stay out there during camp and make sure I finish.
Didn't look like you were wearing a Guardian cap out there.
No.
Is there anything, or have you given any consideration to that?
No. Nope. I got a new helmet.
What kind?
The Axiom. Yes.
And I know you said that you're not going to change the way you play because of the concussions you've had.
No.
Did you think about the Guardian cap at least in practice?
No, I didn't. I didn't think about it.
All right, so no Guardian cap for Jaquan Brisker. He did say earlier that he's going to try and not to lead with his head and lead with his helmet.
But I thought the point that was made inside the room was a really good one. The injury that put him out.
He did everything right.
He did everything right. That was on the offensive player. You know, and I don't know. Like it's some guys can throw themselves at players and not end up in the space that he was at, and then some guys get a glancing blow. Like the brain science is so unique, and it's scary. It's really, really scary. So I wish him the best of luck. I do wish that he would wear the Guardian cap at least this time of the year, but it's his choice.
Yeah, I mean, look, he could say all the things he wants about trying to adjust his play style, and I believe him, but when you're out there on the field and you're trying to make a play and it's moving so fast, it's hard to pull back. And
yep.
Like you said, just you wish him the best of luck. It's hard to avoid those violent collisions sometimes, and especially for a guy who's made a career being a violent player in the secondary.
Kudos to Kevin Byard, who said earlier in the week that he was going to call out if he sees symptoms from Jaquan. He's going to go ahead and point that out to the team. And that's it's an odd place for a veteran to have to be. You know, you don't want to rat on a younger player, but I think it's the right thing to do. But Jaquan also talked about moving around in this defense, right, Chris?
Yeah, I think Dennis Allen absolutely sees him as a really key figure in this defensive identity. So here's Jaquan Brisker and the role he could play within this defense.
Just different roles. I'm going to be close to the line of scrimmage. Sometimes I'm going to be back. But I love being closer to the line of scrimmage. So just, you know, have me anywhere where you got to account for me, try to see where I'm at and things like that. Just like Ben said the other day, you got to know where nine is, and that's true. So, yeah, I'll say I'll be close. I'll be in the back. I might be outside corner. I might be in the slot. You never know.
You feel like that'll bring up improvement to the run game this season, sure, with you being close to the line?
Mm-hmm, yeah, I think so. Anytime I'm closer to the ball and in the run game, I know how to fit. You know, I know how to play the run. That. It's simple and easy for me, and it makes everybody else play faster. So, I'm very effective.
Nuggets and tidbits?
Yeah, Braxton Jones rejoined individual and teamwork today. Good to see him back out there. Ozzie Trapillo had his moments, as well as Kron Amagachi with the first-team offense. Case Keenan was your QB2 for the day. Newly signed defensive end Tanok Passagnol left the practice in a cart. It looked like a hand or wrist injury. The great Devin Hester was present for practice. So, too, were the Bulls' Modest Bozelis and Iota Sumu.
Modest and Caleb have kind of become friends, so that's cool. A couple of the young guys in town that people have a lot of faith in. So it's good to see that. Emma, great job as always. We appreciate you.
Take care.
That's Chris Emma from our staff. Read his stuff on 670thescore.com. Listen to him do sports as an anchor over on our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. We need to take a break. Why? Because Ron Coomer's about to call us, and we're going to talk to him about Cubs and Brewers and whatnot next on The Score.